Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. In this last month, we had quite a few funerals, and at one of them, I found myself at a local cemetery, and the deceased had lived a long life, and I'm always kind of, a funeral is never a happy occasion, but the deceased's great-grandchild was there, and so you have this sense of, I always get the impression life is like a train station, that this one has gone on and a new life has come in, and that sort of thing. And so I was standing there, and everybody was very close around me because it was really howling and the wind was blowing. It was down at Breslauan. And I had in my hand, this comes out, I had in my hand a brass cross that is normally put on top of the casket, to hand to the oldest daughter. And next to me was this great-grandchild, was right here, right next to me. And I had this brass cross in my hand, and the baby wanted it. It's grabbing, I'm not thinking, and I'm holding it over here, and the baby is grabbing the cross from me, I'm going... Oh, not really. But it was kind of funny in a way. The baby had little bunny ears on, and it was really cute. So after about three pulls, I gave up and I put the baby in the service. I just said, it was a girl. I said, look, honey, if you wait a little bit, when you get a little older, God will give you a cross of your own. This one is for your mother. And it was, this was the grandmother holding the baby there. And we ourselves, during Lent, we take on a voluntary type of penance, at least we should be, adding things into our lives or taking something away that is good, but we can do without for a few weeks. And this is to prepare us for the involuntary crosses that come to our lives. Our Lord, in today's gospel, he brings three of them up on the mountain. And I always wonder why the other nine were left behind, but that's another homily, but you can go home and think about that. I always think about it. But they want to stay on the mountain, It's a little vision of heaven, only it's not heaven, because Jesus hasn't suffered yet. He can't stay there either. Once he took on human form, he took our flesh, he had to suffer and die in order to go back to heaven where he came from. He had to die first, like the rest of us. And he had to suffer. That was why he came to earth. And the disciples wanted to stay, and they couldn't stay either. They had to go back to the Valley of the Cross in order to then go with Jesus to glory. And it's the same with us, but we do our best to avoid the cross, don't we? I mean, I'm no different than the rest of us. I found that 2 days ago I had an ant invasion in the kitchen. I don't know what the reason for this was. Which I didn't think I did until I found a jar of honey that was open. The ants found it before I did. But that's a minor cross, and there's nothing I can do about it. But what we try to do is we try to anesthetize ourselves from it, or we over-entertain ourselves, or we eat too much, or we just try to order our lives so that they are as pleasant as possible, having everything the way we want it. Hopefully everybody loves us, and we have lots of money, and we're healthy, and we eat well, and we have a good job, and we love everybody we work with or go to school with. But life isn't like that, is it? And even if we did, sometimes we try to seek a geographical cure. You know what that means? By switching jobs, switching spouses, switching places we live or employment. But you know what? Like the Imitation of Christ says, everywhere we meet the cross, you run away from one, you're going to find one over here where you're running off to. A lot of people are on vacation these next week and a half because of spring break. But even on vacation, we find a cross, because you get the impression life is not heaven. And in fact, we're here to suffer to some extent. That's part of what life is about. We can't avoid it. We're not meant to avoid it. It's part of how we grow. We won't grow without the cross. You're not really in love with someone if you're not willing to suffer with them. You know, otherwise you're just some good time Charlie. This is not marriage, it's not friendship, and it's not a relationship with Christ either. One of my favorite little parables, which I know I'm sure many of you have heard, I have a kind of a pile of little things that I save, and every so often I reread them for my own edification. And one of my favorites is a story about a man who complained to Jesus so loudly about his cross. He said, "Lord, I really have a cross that's too heavy for me to carry. Will you please do something about this?" And our Lord heard him and came and appeared to him and said, "All right, I'll tell you what, you give me that cross, I'll take it back. And I'm going to send you off to that room over there, and you can go pick out your own cross. You have to carry one, I'll let you pick it out." And so he very gladly gave his cross back to Jesus and went off to pick out a cross. And what he found in that room were crosses of all sizes. Some were huge with big spikes on them, and some were really small like this one. And he was too embarrassed to pick up the smallest cross. You know, I'm sure all of us would like to do that, but he picked up one he thought was just right for him and went back to Jesus. And Jesus said, "You know, it's funny, but you picked up the same one that you gave to me." And no matter how we find these things, these sufferings, God works it to our good in the end. Now, there are two types of suffering. There's suffering that we have walked into ourselves, and there's suffering that we are unjustly undergoing. When we walk into it, it's something that we are sort of receiving the wages of sin. You might say we overate or overdrank or something has come back to us, and that's one kind of suffering. But whichever kind it is, we can unite it with Christ and turn it into something holy. It all depends on how we look at it. St. Paul himself, in another gospel, another text, another letter, he says, "In my own body, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ." Now that sounds heretical. What could possibly be lacking in the suffering of Jesus Christ? Well, nothing is lacking, actually. His suffering paid the price for us. But what Paul meant was, in Paul's life, there was a cross that he had not carried yet. There's a piece that we have not shared with Christ. This is what's lacking. We haven't shared our cross yet with Jesus. We're part of his body, and we have to have our own cross. When we come before Jesus, he's going to appear to us with wounds. If I've done my best all my life to run away from every cross he sends me, I'm going to be awfully embarrassed when I meet him. Because this was a way of showing love to Christ, is that I'm willing to suffer a little something for him once in a while. So one of the ways that we do this as Catholics, there's an old-fashioned expression that I don't use very often, but when I was growing up, my mother used to tell me to offer it up. That means for Catholics, you know, every Mass is an offering. We are offering to Jesus his own sacrifice. It's the same sacrifice as Calvary. And we unite our sufferings to him, so we should understand this. But one way that we can do this, one of my favorite saints is Saint Margaret Mary. She has a prayer, which I put in the bulletin. I use my own words, but I put her prayer in here. I invite you to read this later, and you can come up with your own prayer. But she said that there are two ways in which we can look at suffering. She said, if in the course of your life you receive a cross or a suffering, you can say, "Oh my God, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to endure this in your heart. I offer it to you in reparation for anything that I have done wrong." That doesn't mean that I'm saving myself, or that through my offering that I somehow can have my sin forgiven. Jesus does that for us in confession. He does it on his cross. what she means is that, Lord, in the past, I have sinned in all these areas. I've rejected so many of the crosses that have come my way and have not used them well. Now that this has come to me, I'd like to show you that I'm sorry by accepting this one better than I have the others. It's a way of showing love to God. That's what she means. So I can tell God I love him by the way I accept this cross. And I can say to God, because I've sinned in the past, I especially want to show you I love you now. It's a motive for how we suffer. And the other way is when we receive an unjust cross. And those come on a regular basis as well. There's no connection with anything that we did, you know. And in that case, she says, I offer this to you, Lord, in order to be united with you. And there again, what she means is that by my offering this to you, Lord, even though it has no direct connection with you or your cross 2,000 years ago, you suffered unjustly. I can suffer this, and I'm going to offer it to you. And then suddenly I'm united with Christ. He's with me in my cross that I'm bearing. This is what Christ is trying to get through to us, I think. Lent is a time when we offer voluntary things. Sometimes it goes better than others. I always have to take stock of things here at the second Sunday of Lent and see how it's going, maybe change a few things, but to keep going with Lent. We don't have to be like that little baby, you know. We don't have to go looking for a cross or grabbing one. God will provide all that you need in that area. But when we are offered one, or we fashion one of our own making and we find that we are stuck with it, we can make use of it by offering it back to God and thus to love him and thus to be united with him. And then we find out a little bit more of what life is all about. And thus we are transfigured with him.